Take our Bible, turn to 2 Timothy, chapter number 4, 2 Timothy chapter number 4, and I want to draw your attention to just a few verses there, verses 9 through 11, mainly focusing on verse 11, dealing with Mark. 2 Timothy chapter 4, this is the last letter we believe that the Apostle Paul wrote before he died a martyr's death. And in this last letter, he makes some statements. I hope that this will help us this morning. Our focus in November is on a new beginning. And that doesn't always mean, you know, salvation. You can always start over, amen? And I think some of you need to just start again. And I hope and pray that God will stir your heart to that end. Look at verse number 9. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed into Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word this morning and for the reference even to the Mark, your servant. It's weighty when we think about the background and the scriptures with this young man. And I pray, God, that you'd use the reality of his life and the testimony of the scriptures to help us this morning, Lord. Many times we have come short of what we ought to be, or sometimes we've even turned back from doing, Lord, what it is that you had called us to do. And God, we just thank you that there are examples in the Bible where men didn't just get stuck there or stop there. God, you worked in their hearts and brought them to a place of renewal and a new effort and new beginning. Lord, done wonderful things in their life. And I pray, God, this morning that you help some here in this service, Lord, see the desire that you have to still use them. Lord, they'll just come back and want you, God, again, and desire, Lord, that their life would be used of you. There's no telling what you would do. Lord, there's perhaps some even in this service or in the children's church that have yet to meet Jesus as their Savior. And we pray, God, that the Holy Spirit will speak to their heart this morning and trouble them about their lost condition and draw them to yourself that they might be saved. Lord, help them not to think about a building or a people, but help them to think about Jesus and Him dying on the cross for their sins, being resurrected and coming again. And may they call upon the name of the Lord that they might be saved. Lord, please enable us and empower us to say what you'd have us to say, and Lord, keep us from saying things that wouldn't help get the message across. Help us to say things rightly. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So as we've mentioned, the month of November, we're focusing on a new beginning, and I'm glad that we don't have to wait until January to make some changes or make some new commitments, amen, or say, Lord, I need this to be true in my life. But even if you had to wait till January, it's coming faster and faster, so it'll probably be here before you know it. It's shocking to me that we're already in the month of November. Anybody else shocked at that? Well, the truth in the Bible is that God gives us many chances. And today is the day of change. Today is the day of opportunity. You could leave this service radically transformed if you would let God have His way in your heart. It may be this morning, if you're here unsaved, I know that it's true. You could leave this service. You came here this morning without Jesus, without God, on your way to hell. If you'd embrace Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you can leave knowing that your name's in heaven, that your sins have been forgiven, and you'd have a new life. You'd be a new creature in Christ Jesus. Amen? But God invites us over and over again to come to Him. And He promises that today is the day and now is the time. He's urgent about that. And some of you this morning need to take advantage of that. Today is the day that God is dealing with you and drawing you, and so you need to respond. Remember in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, the Apostle Paul said these words, "For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation I have succored thee," or "I have helped thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Amen? It's always now and right here in this moment that God wants you to do business with Him. Why is that? Because when we delay and put that off, sometimes we get back in that old rut. But if God is calling you and wanting you to do something and you respond to Him, God can get you out of that rut and help you start living the Christian life. Amen?
Amen.
In Hebrews chapter 3, we're warned in verses 7 and 8. It says, "Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts."
Amen.
Listen to God today and do His will. Even the prophet Isaiah urged us to respond to God now. He said in chapter 1 and verse 18, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord."
Amen.
And so God wants you today to respond to Him. Amen?
Amen.
I think if you went to hell and you would ask people down there, "Did you intend to go there?" they'd say, "No." Most of them would say, "I was going to get saved. I planned on getting saved. I really meant to get saved." And yet they put it off one day too long. Amen?
Amen?
And there'll be some people in heaven that will regret. They put off surrendering to Jesus one day too long. And I don't want you to do that. Amen? So today, respond to His voice. God is certainly the God of second chances. Amen?
Amen?
Over and over again, He comes and He gives you an opportunity to turn and come to Him and get things right with Him. In Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 7, He so wanted people to get right with Him, He gave a little parable. And He said He had 100 sheep, that if He had only lost one of them, what would He do? He'd leave the 99 so he could go reclaim that one lost lamb. You say, preacher, does God want me to be in a right relationship with Him? Yes. Amen. If you're the only one that had wandered away, He would seek you. Amen?
Amen.
In John chapter 6, Jesus promised if you'll come to Him, He would not turn you away. I love that promise.
Right.
Sometimes the devil does his best to say to you, God is not going to interest in you. God is not going to hear you. God is not going to respond to you. That is not true. In John 6:37, it says this, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Listen, and he that cometh to me, I will in no wise. I will certainly not cast out.
Amen.
That's a promise from our Lord. If you come to Him, He will embrace you. He will accept you. He will receive you. Amen?
Amen.
Remember after His death, burial, and resurrection, Jesus glorified the Father in that, but He did all of that not just to glorify the Father. He did that to save the lost. He did that to reclaim fallen men back to Himself. He wants an intimate, personal relationship with you. And if you don't have that with Him, He calls you to that today. Amen?
Amen.
He wants that. I trust this morning that you want that yourself. Amen?
Amen.
John Mark's a good example. Perhaps one of the reasons for his being mentioned in the Bible is to show you that God can take your life, even though you may not have done what His will is, and He could reclaim that.
Yes.
He can restore that, and He could use that. Notice John Mark's departure. In Acts chapter 13 and verse 13, he'd gone on a journey, missionary journey, the first one that Paul and Barnabas was set out to start spreading the news to the Gentile world. Hadn't been long into that missionary trip that John Mark, it says John there in Acts chapter 13, verse 13, for some reason got homesick, maybe because of some of the persecution that he saw. We don't know exactly why, but John said, I'm going home. I'm not going to keep on out here on this mission trip. I'm not going to the next town. I'm not going to spread the gospel anymore. I'm going back to Jerusalem. Acts 13, 13. Now when Paul and his companions loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga and Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. You say, preacher, how do we know which John that is? Is that John the Baptist? Is that John the Apostle? Well, we know who it is because in Acts chapter 15, there's a second missionary trip. And Paul and Barnabas are getting ready to go again. And Barnabas says to Paul, Paul, I want to bring my cousin along. I want to bring John Mark with us. And Paul said, I'm opposed to that. Last time we were out there in the heat of the battle and we were trying to spread the gospel and face some discouraging times, he quit. And when he quit, I'm sure that it discouraged the others, aren't you? I'm thinking Paul is saying, well, I don't want that to happen again. We don't need to get out there in the middle of the battle and then have somebody drop out and quit again. I'm not going through that again. I don't want John Mark to come. Barnabas says, Paul's been working with him, been praying for it. I think he's ready to go. And so, the Bible says here in verse 37 of Acts chapter 15, I want you to see who this is. So, Barnabas determined to take with him John, whose surname was Mark. That was his last name. Brian's last name is Smith. That's John Mark. That was his last name. And we all call him by the last name, by Mark. The contention between Barnabas and Paul was so severe that Paul said, I'm going to go this way, you go the other way, I'll take Silas. But Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. So we know that it was this first trip out trying to win people to Jesus that Mark said, I'm quitting. I can't go on. I need to go back home. And so he left the men out there as they labored for the Lord Jesus Christ. And sometimes we depart. And our departure might not be as physical as that is. I mean, it's clear he went back home. It's easy to see his departure. But sometimes our departure is not that easy to see. Can I remind you that Judas Iscariot, was the betrayer of Christ, was with him the entire time up to the crucifixion? But we know somewhere down the down that line of 3.5 years, his heart turned away from Jesus.
Right?
We know something changed in Judas Iscariot, the betrayer of Christ. He went from caring about Jesus to caring about the money. The Bible says that he was sticking his hand into the money jar of the disciples of Christ and taking some to himself, says he was a thief. He went from caring about the lost and caring about Jesus and the Messiah to caring about material things and temporal things, and somewhere his heart turned from Christ. He departed from Jesus, as it were. Paul wrote to the Galatians, some of you remember this, and the Galatians were doing extremely well in the beginning. They loved the Lord and they were serving God, but false teachers crept in to the churches in Galatia and they started teaching the Galatians that you had to keep the law in order to be saved. You had to be circumcised and do what the Old Testament said. And so their hearts got confused and corrupted, and many of them stopped serving Jesus like they once did. And Paul pointed this out in Galatians 5 and verse 7 when he simply says this: ye did run well, who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? What does that mean? There was that time they were really serving Jesus. They were on fire. They were running the race that's set before us. And then all of a sudden somebody tripped them up. And instead of getting back up and getting on course again, they just sat on the sideline. And Paul's intention in writing Galatians was, get off the sideline and get back in the race. Amen?
Amen?
I'm certain that many of them did. Paul even told us about some folks in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. Alexandria and Hymenaeus. The Bible says, Paul writing about them, that they made shipwreck of their faith. These men were doing well. They were part of the faithful church. And then they also departed from the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you could do that in the church. I mean, most people start backsliding in the church. My father-in-law said this, and I do believe it's true. He said, you see some Christians, they stop coming to church. They've already stopped reading their Bible and praying. Not coming to church is a symptom of something happened months ago when they were not being faithful to Christ in their personal, private, devotional time. So we see his departure, but notice his discipleship. John Mark was truly a blessed young man. You say, why is that? Because he had a cousin that was a godly man, Barnabas. Barnabas is a great picture of the Holy Ghost. Even his name is similar to that of the Holy Ghost. He was known as a comforter. Barnabas was known as an encourager. It's great to have somebody like that in your family. I mean, it's hard to stay on the sideline when you got somebody rooting for you. And Barnabas certainly was that kind of man. Amen? When he first met Paul, none of the disciples wanted to have anything to do with Paul, because they heard about him killing Christians and putting them in prison. Guess who's the first one that went out there and shook his hand and said, you know what? Let's see what we can do with this man. It was Barnabas. And no wonder Barnabas would go to his cousin and said, John, don't stay on the sideline. God wants to use you. How do we know that's true? Because in Acts 13, he went back home, but where is he in Acts chapter 15? Barnabas had brought him back out there the next time they're making that missionary trip. He didn't give up on him, amen? He said, hey, let's take John Mark. I think he's ready. Don't you think some time went into that? Some investment? I don't think he just brought him back out there after he quit the last time unless he noticed some things in his life that started to change, amen? And so he was discipling John Mark, training John Mark, One of the best things you can do if you're going through a dry time, or if you're not serving Christ, you quit on serving Jesus, is don't forsake the church. Keep godly people around you. Amen?
Amen.
Now don't lose that voice of influence and that voice of encouragement. There's no telling what God might still do as long as you give them an opportunity to speak to your heart. Amen?
Amen.
Not only was it Barnabas that encouraged them, but church historians tell us that Peter, the pastor of the church at Jerusalem, co-pastor with James, also took a personal interest in John Mark, who discipled John Mark and prayed with John Mark. Church historians say this. He took a special interest in encouraging John Mark not to quit, but to get back out there and serve Jesus again. Amen?
Amen.
And oh, how great a testimony this is. Here's a man who once stood by the fire of the world and was asked, "Do you know Jesus, sir? Aren't you one of his disciples?" And Peter said, "No, I don't know him." And they said, "Wait a minute, surely you're one of his disciples." And again, Peter said, "No, I don't know anything about that Jesus fellow." And finally, to fully convince him, he didn't have anything to do with Jesus. They said, "Yeah, I think you're one of his followers." He used profanity, cursed, and said, "No, I don't know that man, Jesus." Immediately heard the cock crow, and Peter went out and wept bitterly. No wonder when he heard about John Mark quitting on the ministry, he could go to him and say, "John, it's not over. God's not through with you. One failure, that didn't mean that God is not going to use your life. God is not going to work through you. God's not going to honor Jesus in your life. Trust me, I know."
Amen.
Some of you have struggled. Some of you went through some difficult times. And the best thing you can do is just be honest with other Christians. Amen?
Amen.
Sometimes we give this portrait. We want to act like we don't have problems. We don't go through trials or difficulties or failures. But that's not the case.
Right.
I appreciate Brother Bruce sharing with me sometimes his testimony. Ask him about it when you get a chance. Bruce said he was in church as a young man, about 21. Bruce, 20. And he said, "But I was looking for some way to get out." Have you ever been there? You're going to church, but you're really not getting much out of it. You know, your heart's not in it. And you go and you get convicted. And you're wondering, "Why in the world should I go and get convicted?" And then you're looking for something. You know, maybe somebody will offend me. You know, so you're just waiting for somebody, you know, hoping they might. And you go to church and they hug you and they pray for you and you love you. You're like, "Oh, I can't find nobody. Is it going to offend me?" And you better be careful. You might make something up. You keep looking hard enough to find something. Amen?
Amen.
And Bruce said he left church that night trying to figure out how to quit going without people calling him, harassing him, and being a Barnabas to him. And he said the Holy Ghost of God entered that car of his and had to pull over the road and tears streaming down his face. And God dealt with his heart, and from then on he's been a faithful servant of God.
Amen.
And God can do the same thing in your life.
Right.
Can I say something to you? In fact, he wants to do the same thing in your life.
Amen.
He doesn't want you cold. He doesn't want you indifferent.
No.
He don't want you just enduring a church service, being there because you have to be, amen? He wants you there because you want to be. You want to serve God. You want to do something for Jesus who died on a cross and was buried and resurrected so your sins could be forgiven and you could spend eternity in heaven with him, amen?
Amen.
Someone who'd love you that much deserves your all and my all as well, amen?
Amen?
So thank God he had people around him that would encourage him. And by the way, thank God he listened to that encouragement and responded to it. Amen?
Amen?
It's one thing to go to church and get people to help you or show you what to do. It's another thing to take that on board. Amen?
Amen?
And lastly, let me share with you his dedication. In Acts chapter 15, again, in verse 39, it says this, "And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus." Interesting thing about this, you read Acts chapter 15, 16, 17, read the records that are left in church history about John Mark, you don't see John quitting again. You don't see Mark saying, "I'm not going to do that. I'm going home." God restored him, and for the rest of John Mark's days, he served the Lord Jesus Christ. The text that we read to you, Paul said in the end of his days that John Mark is profitable to me for the ministry. Think about how much of a change has taken place in Paul's own mindset concerning John Mark. Think about the change that's taken place in John's life that Paul, an apostle, one of the greatest apostles, would say, "Please send John Mark to me. It'll benefit me." There was a time that he thought that John Mark was useless, but now he sees him useful. That's what that word prosper me means. He says, I thought at one time he's useless. Nobody's going to be able to use this man. God can't even use that man. But he said, now he's very useful to me. Amen? He thought at one time John Mark was a hindrance. Now he sees how helpful that he is. He thought at one time that he's a burden. I'm glad he's gone. I don't want to take him again. But now he sees John as a blessing. Listen, God can do the same thing in your life. You just kneel before Jesus. Let Jesus take control of your life again. And there's no telling what God would do with you. Amen? I know what some of you, you've said, "Preacher, I've tried that. I've read my Bible. I've prayed. I've tried to be a witness. And I just don't see God in it. I don't see much happening there." Please return to Jesus and see how faithful that our Lord Jesus is. If Jesus could use John Mark this way, there is no reason why Jesus couldn't use you as well. Amen? Church historians tell us about the ending of John Mark's life. Mark was sent to Alexandria of Egypt. By the way, John Mark is known as John Mark the Evangelist. John Hyde is known as just Praying Hyde, missionary to India. He prayed so much that they just left off his first name and said he's Praying Hyde. John Mark must have been such an evangelist that his title was John Mark the Evangelist. Isn't that something? He went from quitting on the Lord to being known as an evangelist for Christ. He goes to Alexandria of Egypt there to preach the gospel. And while he's there, the pagans are angered at him because he's trying to get them to turn from their God. They tie a rope around his neck and drag him through the streets behind a horse. Some tell it this way. I don't know because I wasn't there. they do that for a while, throw him in prison. Next day, tie a rope around his neck. Dragging through the streets again. Some think it lasted days until finally it took John's life. May have been in early days that he was afraid of all the persecution that he faced and said, "I'm going back home, I'm going back to Jerusalem." But at the end of his days, he stands the test of persecution and trials. He goes through torture for the name of Jesus Christ. Willingly lays down his life so that others could hear about Jesus. If God could do that for John Mark, listen to me, God could give you that same passion and desire that he gave John Mark. John Mark's not an unusual man. He's a common man. Amen. Just like you and I. But oh, look at what Jesus did in his life. Amen? Amen. Why? Because he didn't quit. He got back in the race. And he said, "God, I don't want my life to end like that. I want you to use me." And if you'll let God use you, there's no telling what Jesus could do and how much glory Jesus could get. If you had a new beginning this morning and said, "Lord, here's my life. Do with it whatever you want to do." Amen? Amen. If you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, let me plead with you, beg with you, come to Jesus and be saved.
Amen.
Hell is no joke. Heaven is absolutely a true place.
Amen.
There's only one way to get there, and that's through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior.
Amen.
If you could get to heaven in any other way other than Jesus dying on the cross for your sins, being buried and resurrected, Jesus would not have ever had to come and die. Remember, he's in the garden. He said, "Father, be thy will, let this cup pass from me."
Yeah.
And if you get there by being good enough, Jesus wouldn't die. He didn't have to go to the cross and suffer. The reason that he suffered and bled is because that's the only way that you can ever be saved. Amen? And since he's done the work, he's asking you to come and trust him. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Amen? No greater words have you ever heard. If you're lost, and believe on Christ and you'll be saved. Amen?
Amen.
And if you're a Christian, you're struggling, let me encourage you to do something this morning. Don't you come to this altar and say, "God, help me. Help me to get back on fire for you." It's interesting. We didn't pick out the congregational song this morning to match the message. The first song we sang, "Set My Soul Afire, Lord. Set My Soul Afire." And some of you need God to touch you again this morning. Amen?
Amen?
Don't keep going through the motions. Don't sit in church like a knot on a log. Amen? Let God have your life and use it. And if he doesn't have your life, he's not using this morning, come to this altar and beg God that he would forgive you and that God would help you. Amen? And trust him that he'll do that. Let's stand for prayer. Father, we need you this morning. Lord, without you, we can do nothing. Lord, I pray that you might speak to some young people today here in this church service. Lord, help them to see, Lord, how much you want to use them. The world just wants to use them up and spit them out. But God, you want to use them so that you get the glory and honor that you rightfully deserve.